Welcome back to Beyond the Crops, the podcast where we share the real and raw behind the scenes of conventional farming and what it's like to raise a family on America's backroads. I'm MP.
And I'm Jenna. Planting season is creeping up on us fast. Hear what we are doing to prepare for the most important pass of the season, both physically and mentally, and emotionally too, if we're being honest.
Man, it feels good to see you and talk to you.
I know, it's kind of been a hot minute.
Mm-hmm. And especially to talk about this topic, because I feel like the weather has really kind of given me the itch, I guess.
Weather because it's been warm.
Yes, it has. So I think the last time we talked, I don't know, it was still pretty cold, but we've had enough warmth to where we've even started in the fields already.
We have not ventured to do that. There was definitely guys around us doing some fertilizing and dirt work, but then it froze again and we got another snow. And Levi said, I've never been so proud of a decision to resist the itch.
Yeah.
And then today it's raining, which is, I was so excited when it was raining this morning. Yes, it makes for more mud and more work because we're still calving and we're still loading corn stock cows out. Actually, there was a couple hundred that were supposed to go home tomorrow, but they're headed back to Colorado, and Colorado is supposed to get 36 inches of snow this weekend.
Oh
so
my goodness.
We postponed that.
Good call.
Yeah.
I feel like the weather.
They reached out to us because just say, hey, this is our forecast, because obviously our weather is very different right now. And we said, yeah, don't you worry. We can keep them here another week or two.
Yeah. Because then what are they supposed to do? Right when they get back, they have to be trudging through the snow to feed all these animals.
And that is just not great, because every time they're moved, the animal needs to kind of like reacclimate to its surroundings and the diet changes. And so, yeah, it just would have not been great for the animals. So we were definitely all on board to postpone it a little bit.
Yeah. I was going to ask you guys what you're up to, but obviously calving season and taking care of all those corn stock cows, like,
yes,
takes up so much of your winter.
It does. And I feel like it's been especially busy lately because guys are getting in the field. Not all of the stocks that we run cows on are our fields. We do it for other farmers as well. And some of them wanted to start getting in the field. So we had a group of 250 on 40 acres, which is not very many acres for that many cows. So then Levi was filling our feed wagon that we feed our mama cows with in our lots while they calve, and going to the fields to supplement feed, because it was just a short amount of time they were going to be there, but they needed extra feed until they could get loaded out to go home. So we've had to definitely get creative, but we've been trudging along. The rain's exciting though, because if you remember last year, it was so dry and our winter had basically zero moisture that we had to run the pivots before we could plant so that the seeds could germinate. So just, I knew you and I were going to talk about planting, and then it was raining and I was just like, oh, I just feel like this is good vibes that we're going to have a better planting season.
We can only hope. I mean, we're actually really thankful for the rain too, because what we were doing out in the field already is field cultivating. And we kind of have learned the past couple years, everything around here, when it's ready to go, like, it's just everything is ready to go, and you have to like go, for lack of a better term, balls to the walls to get stuff done.
I hear you.
And when we cultivate too close to the planter, so basically cultivating like is like a big rake, and it smooths out the surface of the field so that you have a really nice even seed bed to plant in. And it kind of breaks up some of the bigger clods of dirt or root balls. Like, it kind of evens it all out. And when we do that too close to planting, the dirt is almost like too loose that it falls back into the seed furrow, and like it gives us uneven depth, uneven emergence, especially on our fields that have lighter soils, which we have a variety of soils around here. So,
right.
So we worked those lighter fields early, and now they're getting rain, which kind of helps them settle out even more, and should, like, planting into a stale seed bed should be good for those fields.
Good.
So I'm excited. I think that's a good sign, but also this weather, my sister and I were talking that it reminds us of 2012 when we worked at the co-op together, and that was like a drought year. So
that was not a good year at all.
Yeah. So hopefully that's not the case.
Hopefully that is not the case is right. We had a lot of fog days in the fall. And I mean, old Farmers Almanac followers will say if you, like, 90 days after a fog, you get some kind of moisture, whether it's snow or rain. So we got a bunch of snow. Now we're getting rain. I just hope we get a good window to plant, and then we get more rain for the crops, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. This season is, I feel like every season we go into it and we're like, man, this is going to be another crazy thing to get through. And with the lower market prices now too, it's a new challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going into $6.50 corn in December. We're going into $4 corn, $4.50, yeah. wherever it's at. I don't pay that close of attention to the markets. So
I don't either, but I know it's not great.
Yeah. So it's just so interesting, the challenges that we face, weather, markets, everything. Thank goodness we have our faith, huh?
Yes. And they say gambling's not legal in Nebraska, but I say that's not true. They call it farming here. I think technically it is legal now, but whatever. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. So what else have you guys been up to?
Honestly, that's it. We've been calving out cows, taking care of cows on corn stalks, and ferociously getting ready to plant.
Yes. I think we're in the ferociously getting ready to plant stage two. We're about halfway through a planter build that we've been doing on an old 2012 John Deere planter. We're like retrofitting it all with precision planting. And I think Josh said, we're getting to where we probably are like within 3 weeks of having it done. And I'm like, okay, so that leaves us a week to kind of, you know, make sure it's working and hopefully nothing crazy has to change on it so we can just roll with it. But there's not a lot of wiggle room when we get towards the end here.
Levi's been doing a lot of maintenance on our planter as well. He has been, he's doing a lot better in the past couple of years at coming in at supper time, not just working until he's done and then coming in and eating late after the kids and I eat. So he eats with us, helps put the kids back down to bed. And then he's been going out to the shop and working on the planter until 10 or 11 at night. He's been trying to work on one row unit a night. He's like, so 12 nights and I'll have it done. And he said, for the first time, I'm really happy I have a 12 row planter, not a 24 row planter.
Truth.
So much truth in that. Honestly, it's kind of been on his radar to invest in a new planter. But like you mentioned, the market prices aren't great. And he just feels like this is a year that we need to be more conservative. So he didn't want to make that investment this year, or maybe the next couple of years. So he's like, I just need to do what I can to maintain the one that I have. And I've been getting good crops with what I have. I just need to put the most into that for a couple more years until we invest in something bigger. So he's putting new True V discs on the planter. So it's what makes the furrow. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I always use hand signals like our listeners can see them. The furrow's like a V shape, and that's what the seed drops down into. And those True V discs, they wear out and they need replaced. He had a lot of bearings go out last year. So this year he said, I'm just going to replace all of them because I don't want to stop planting to fix bearings again. He said there's a lot of different things you can go by on when to change those discs. So you can go by a measurement of how much the disc is wearing down, because as it rolls through the soil, it wears, obviously, or you can go by so many acres, but he just decided, I'm just doing them all this year. And then he's replacing the parallel arms. So those are the arms that hold the row unit kind of off of the planter bar and what makes them go up and down. And then just going through trash cleaners, greasing everything. He said, you know, the huge. I said, no, I don't know the huge planter maintenance, but thanks for cluing me in.
You can do so much with an older planter and make it really good. And you could, I mean, every planter needs that, like, run to through with a fine tooth comb before you get it out every season.
I think he's maybe, I don't know if he's truly kicking himself, but we really wanted to add the precision planting 2020 monitor the past 2 years, but we were going to have to get a whole new wiring harness for our planter. And it was going to be over $5,000 just for the wiring harness. And he said, I don't know if I want to make that kind of investment when I know that I'm going to need a new planter in the next few years. But now that he's delaying it a little bit, it's kind of a bummer because we could get so much useful information from that monitor. So it's okay. It's fine. We're just going to roll with what we have and do the best we can with what we have right now.
Yes. You can only make decisions with the information you have in front of you.
Yes.
And do your best that way.
And we all knew the markets were going to suck this year.
Right. Yeah.
So besides the planter, Levi's also been getting the fertilizer machine ready. We do all liquid and he does that himself. So replacing hoses, grease, bearings, all, you know, the huge maintenance. And then he was on the phone a ton yesterday as we went to appointments, which we're going to get into why we were doing that. And he was talking to insurance clients, but then also I heard him booking some spraying during planting because he wants everything sprayed behind the planter, but he knows that he can't physically plant all of the acres and then spray all of the acres. So he got some of that off of his plate and he said, we're just going to have a way better spring. He's like, I know I own a sprayer, but I did the math and we can still save a dollar or two an acre by doing it this way. So I was just really proud of him for making that decision and kind of delegating something off. Yes.
That's your round of applause, Levi. That's awesome,
Levi, because it's really really hard for him to pay for something that he is capable and has the resources to do, but he doesn't have the resources. He does not have the time to do all of that. So I think in our old ripe age of 31 and 32, we're finally recognizing that.
That's incredible. Oh, I love it. Well, I'm glad. And I think that's a good motivation for anyone listening or a wife, farm wife or spouse who's listening to encourage their person to delegate when they can and help. Yes. Because like, I mean, we're probably going to get into this a little more, but just like keeping your mental health healthy during this time of year is when it is really hard to let things like that slip. Yeah. So, Yeah. So we kind of have been to a lot of different conferences this year.
Uh-huh.
And different learning events, which I've never been to so many ever in the past. And now I feel like I have a strong opinion on what the best ones are.
Well, let's hear it.
I think so far, like out of all the conferences I went to, and maybe it's because of the messages that I needed to hear this season of life, mm-hmm. you know, like everyone needs different things. But for me, the Farm Futures Business Summit and the Compeer Groundbreakers Convention were like the best speakers and quality and stuff. We went to Commodity Classic. Mm-hmm. And although I really liked the trade show, I felt like the breakouts weren't as robust, but maybe that's just because they weren't what I needed to hear.
Right.
You know, but anyway, I felt like I kind of got a very good idea of just these different things that we can do personal development wise in the winter months and how much value they can bring us.
I agree. I feel like Levi and I are starting to take those things more seriously. And I think until this year, I'd go to conferences and it would be to meet up with a friend, or I was speaking, or I was on a panel and I wasn't actually taking full advantage of the full conference and taking it in. Mm-hmm. And I went to the Nebraska Women and Ag Conference this year, not a paid thing at all. Just I went and I soaked in the speakers and I got so much value out of that conference.
Yeah.
Maybe it's our age. Maybe we're over 30. So we're like, okay, share all the knowledge with us.
Yeah. And I should also give a plug for Cultivating Courage. I spoke at that one. So my mind was definitely like nerved.
But yes.
The value and the connection that that one brought was like incredible. So
I feel like there's a way different mindset versus speaking at a conference and taking it in. It's totally different. And that's why when I wasn't speaking, I did get so much more out of the conference.
Yeah. And I guess maybe I'll just give them a little sneak peek, because after we've done these different learning events this winter, we've kind of refocused the podcast and what we want to talk about here.
Yes.
And we are going to be focusing on bringing in speakers very pertinent to like family dynamics, succession planning. Like we're doing a whole series on that I'm really excited about.
And I feel like maybe for both of us, the breakouts at respective conferences we've gone to that I've talked about, transition and succession, have been very huge for what we wanted to hear at this moment in life.
Mm-hmm.
Both like transitioning as the next generation, but also starting to think about if and when our kids come back to farm, how we can start setting things up now so that it's not a total dumpster fire when it happens.
Amen to that. So what are you doing to prep for planting?
So besides the physical work that Levi's been doing on the shop, we've also been trying to be more intentional about planning business things. We haven't completely signed up yet, but we want to try a new software app, what have you, to track our inputs.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Simple Farms. I could talk to you about it a little bit. Yep. It's really interesting. So I can share more about it on the podcast as we use it and decide if we like it or not. But it's just the creator of this software, he basically kind of took farm simulation and QuickBooks and meshed them. So it's like you're playing a farm simulator on the app-ish, but you're actually, every time you go into the field, Levi can just click like, I'm planting. This is the seed. This is the fertilizer. This is everything. And we have the prices put into the app for that. And then we will really have to use it for a full year to decide if it's working for us or not. And then it'll give us like what truly is our cost per acre, because Levi will run all these cash flows on pen and paper, but what is the actual hours in the field? What is our time worth? What is the actual dollar amount of every single thing that we applied and equipment maintenance and all of those? So I'm just really excited to use a program like that so that we have a better overall look of what the farm, what it truly is costing us to farm and what our true break even is. So we've kind of been planning to do something like that a little bit.
Same. Exciting. We are too. But, and Josh has had some meetings and we've gone through some different programs to try to decide, but I need to follow up with him on that because that was not on my list of what we're doing to prep. But
yeah,
we have been doing that too. And that is the one thing that was nice about Commodity Classic is when you go there and the trade show, like all those people are there to talk to in person.
Yes.
So we did have a couple of those conversations about, it was a program that would replace QuickBooks, but also get down to the level of like, I don't know if they could get all the way down to like per acre, what is each acre on this field making, but they could, I think they could get to field by field break even and cost analysis. So
yeah, definitely important in today's age and the ever dropping grain markets. That is I did tell you going into the Commodity Classic that it was a very progressive trade show. I felt like we always learned a lot and people weren't there to just hand you your brochure and, oh, sign up for our email list. Like we were actually learning things.
Yeah, for sure. And because you have to pay to get into it, it's not that crowded. Like you can talk to people. Or I guess this year it wasn't that crowded. And, and the top people at these companies are there to talk to
you.
So it was really, really cool to be able to interact with the brands and whatever the options that we had been kind of looking at in that way.
I felt kind of bad about you mentioning the breakout sessions. And the more I thought about it, I was like, we never went to a breakout session because the two times we went, we were just like very busy with commitments. And Levi said, no, Jenna, we were talking on a breakout session. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. We did. So no wonder my mindset was in speaking mode. It wasn't in absorbing mode.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else are you guys doing?
So we also are planning out our year as far as what we're doing, when we're going to spend time with our kids, time as a couple, time as a family. I got it's called the Big As calendar. and it has all 365 days of the year. And then it gives you this like sticky note so you can block out. It's not where you put appointments and all of your day-to-day stuff. It's just where you can plan out, okay, this is when we're going to go do something as a family. This is some lake weekends we have planned already. Some just events that we know that's where we're going to be. And then we can kind of see, okay, we are spending a good amount of time as a family off the farm, or maybe we need to add a date weekend or something like that. We haven't mastered it. We don't have the whole year planned, but it's definitely where we're spending our time is a lot more becoming more important and we're being way more intentional about it.
I wrote that down because I need to do that with Josh. That's a great idea.
And I don't know why, but it's really hard to just corner our husbands to get that done.
They have their mind in other places this time of year.
They do. And planting is getting so close. Levi's phone literally sucks. Last night it dies all the time. It still has a button, you guys. He has an iPhone that still has a button. It's been a lot of years since they made an iPhone with a button.
Without a button.
Without a button. Yeah.
Yeah.
With a
button.
With
Sorry.
A button. With a button. How many times can we say button?
But I drink every time we say button.
Yes, he's had so many issues with it, and he was outside working late, and then it died. And I tried calling him, and it was windy and cold, so I wasn't about to walk all the way up to the shop. But I was also like, I hope he's okay. And so he promised me he would get a new phone before planting.
Good.
The jury is still out if that's going to happen because every day we get closer and closer.
Well, now he has. All of our listeners have heard it. I have heard it. We can hold Levi accountable to getting that new phone because it really is like a safety issue at this point. So.
Agree. Yeah, it seriously is.
Yeah.
And then we've also been trying. You actually inspired me to get yearly appointment type things out
Good.
Of the
day. Oh, I'm so glad.
So we had never been to the dermatologist for just a full skin check, like head to toe to get a baseline. So we did that yesterday, actually. We both went together and got our skin. I had a few tiny spots I was maybe worried about, and I just wanted to make sure they were nothing. And same with Levi. And so we just joked like, oh, yep, we're getting up there. We got to start taking our skin health seriously.
You just reminded me. I think I have a dentist appointment today that I forgot about.
I loathe the dentist. That is not happening before planting. I can tell you that.
I do. I have one at 2:00. So I better figure out what I'm going to do with my kids because shoot. I knew I was going to bring them to daycare for a reason today. Anyway, I agree with you though. I have my eye appointment done and for the first time I decided I'm going to buy prescription sunglasses because I really struggled last spring with getting dust in my contacts.
Oh.
Like spring is the dust time. It's just everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I just they had like a buy one pair of glasses, get one free. So my free one was sunglasses. And I'm really thankful that I did that.
Yeah.
So
we are also big believers in getting preventative, and even when you're sick, go getting an IV at a place
that has
holistic IVs. And so we've started doing it before we travel, and we're going to both go, but Levi doesn't know this yet, but we're going to both go do it before planting as well, just to get a good little immune system boost and flood our system with vitamins and nutrients and just set our bodies up for success as much as we can.
You are on a different level than me because I hate getting needles in my arm. Oh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay. Did you know that when you get an IV, the needle's in there for like 2 seconds and then the needle's not in there anymore?
No.
See, I feel like the common public thinks the needle stays in your arm, but it does not. The only time the needle stays in your arm is when you're giving blood. Okay. If you're like getting an IV of any kind, there's a little tiny, tiny cannula on the outside of the needle. So the needle's literally just used to get the cannula in there, and then the needle slides out.
Okay.
If you watch a nurse do it, a good nurse, she'll do it so fast, you probably like don't even realize she did it. Okay. But yeah, the needle does not stay in your arm, and it's a poke for like 2 seconds. Mary Pat, you had two babies. You can do hard things. You can do this.
I know. And I think maybe it does have to go back. Maybe it goes back to my giving blood days. Cause you know, they would come to like the high school and you would give your blood. And every time I gave blood, it was not because I'm squeamish. I would pass out. And I don't know if I just didn't have enough blood to give.
Maybe you're dehydrated.
That's very possible.
So if you're dehydrated, your blood volume's low. So then you might feel the effects of losing a pint of blood more significantly.
Yeah, because it would always be after I was totally done and like sitting at the snack table. And then all of a sudden I would like black out.
Mm.
The little fuzzies would come in and they would just,
I always felt fine. My iron level was always my hemoglobin was always touch and go if I was going to make it, but I feel like I eat enough red meat now. The Red Cross loves me. I finally blocked most of their numbers. They used to call me twice a week because I have O negative blood and I have a really good vein. So they obviously want my blood. O negative is the universal donor.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm always having babies or breastfeeding. Just leave me alone for a few years. I'll come back to you. I'll come back when I'm ready.
I can't remember what my type is. It's either O positive or O negative, but I don't remember anymore.
They like that O blood. If it was O negative, they'd be calling you every day.
Okay. I should check. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. What else are we doing to get ready?
So the dermatology, the IVs, I was going to go get a thermogram. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
So thermography is, it's like a, I need to be well-versed in it, but they'll do a thermogram is an alternative way for women to get their breast health checked instead of a mammogram. This is how I got to learning about this. This is what my mother-in-law does instead of a mammogram, but they can do full body thermograms and they can catch things like cancer way sooner than other tests would. I got to researching this because I've just seen young people having cancer or around me and on social media that people that are too, like my age that shouldn't necessarily have cancer. There's a girl my age that I know that got diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And it just like kind of shook me like, oh my goodness, am I taking my health seriously? I know we're supposed to do self-exams and everything. I'm not great at that. I feel like I'm always pregnant or nursing. So my body's changing so much all the time.
Yeah.
And so I started looking into it, and the thermography considers physiology, and abnormal physiology means abnormal tissues, which can lead to cancer. So that's kind of why that scan can pick up on tissues that might become cancerous a lot quicker than say an ultrasound or a mammogram. And the accuracy of a mammogram changes depending on how dense your breast tissue is. So technically per CDC recommendations, I'm not at the age where a mammogram is considered like necessary, a mammogram uses radiation. So they tell you not to do it till later in life to like reduce your lifetime exposure to radiation. So that's kind of why I think the age is like 50 or 55. They looked at it, but 40 and 45, but they decided that they weren't saving enough lives by doing it 10 years sooner and that the radiation exposure wasn't worth it for those 10 years. But now there's literally women 30 and younger getting breast cancer. So I was just kind of thinking I need to take this a little more seriously. So I think Levi and I are both going to go for a full body one just for a baseline. But I'm just kind of finishing breastfeeding and you have to wait 3 months post breastfeeding so that those tissues can kind of settle. She jokes, she's like, you would probably look great on a scan right now if you're still breastfeeding, because those are, I guess, lactating breasts are some of the healthiest looking on a scan. So she said, we want your actual baseline before we scan you. So that was something I kind of planned for us both to do before planting this year, but it's going to be a pre-harvest event, I think.
Where do you go to get that done?
You can, I have, there's a town, the city an hour from me, Lincoln, that a bigger city usually has them. I feel like if they're in Nebraska, I'm sure there's some close to you.
Okay. I'll have to look into that. I've never heard of it. Cool.
I just feel like it's not well known. I don't know why.
Yeah, I agree. It's not. I mean, I've never heard of it until now. Yeah.
So. Probably because no one from Big Pharma is profiting off of it. That's probably why.
That's how we really feel.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have said that 2 years ago, but I don't care anymore. It's true.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of focusing more on what I'm doing, and I'm trying to get back into that declutter mode again. But also, I think that when we think about decluttering, a lot of people think it's something that you do like once or twice a year, and it's this big event that is so stressful, so it's even hard to start. So I'm trying to rethink it as a daily thing. So like if I'm picking up an area, if there's something we don't use, it's going in the trash or it's going to be donated depending on what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the way I'm approaching this. And I've been slowly tackling different hot spots. So like I started on the junk drawer, a small space, but holy crap, it gets full of stuff. And I did my kids' toy box the other day. And today, obviously I forgot about this dentist appointment, but I'm planning to do my pantry because that's a big area that we use during planting season that I want to be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
My pantry needs an overhaul. So does our master closet. I've been doing a no spend first quarter. I haven't been buying any clothes or any things that aren't absolutely necessary. And I've been doing so good. And I told myself, Jenna, you cannot shop at all for clothes or anything like that until you clean your closet out. And it's a big task right now because it's been neglected. And I actually want to redo the shelves in there and tear some of them out. So I know it's a big thing. And I really want it to happen before planting, but I don't. It was supposed to happen before we had Walker. So here we are. This is why it's so bad right now. It needs to happen so bad. And my pantry, but I also kind of want to redo the shelves in there to make them more functional. So I need to reframe my mindset to just make the best of what I have, I think.
Yeah. And sometimes those areas do need a planned day to tackle, like the pantry. It's not going to be something that you just like do little by little, I feel like. But, you know, if you're cleaning off your countertops, why are you putting stuff that you're not using into your junk drawer when you could just throw it away or get rid of it? So that's something I've been trying to really focus on going into this, and not treating decluttering like it has to be this big event, but rather something that we can take little bites of and make it be less overwhelming.
Yes.
So yeah, that's been a big thing for me. And just kind of after I'm done with some of these hot spots, then I'll make sure that we have all the essentials we need.
Right.
Toilet paper, diapers, wipes, that kind of stuff, snacks, and that.
I took Levi to Costco for the very first time yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
After a dermatology appointment. And he was trying to get stuff. He's like, I need tea. Planting's coming. I need tea. I need this mineral. He likes sparkling mineral water after he does that after a day of farming instead of a beer now. And I'm like, dude, our pantry can't handle this right now. You need to calm down.
Yeah. Yep. You have to have space for it, or it's just going to sit out or be in like boxes on the floor of your pantry. And then it's
which would never bother Levi, but it can send me over the edge, especially when we start to get tired and overwhelmed during a busy season.
100%. I think I can't focus without a clear space.
Yeah.
So I did tackle my desk too this week, because then I could actually sit down and see, what do I need to do? What do I need to accomplish? So it's a big game changer.
I have also been, when I start to feel that anxiousness or that icky feeling creep up inside, practicing some breathing exercises.
Yes.
There's a really good one that you and I have both like worked with Ashley, and we had her on the podcast. And then she spoke at Women in Ag that I talked about, and she did this workshop on mental health tools for your mental health toolbox. And it was so great. I'd learned a lot of the things from her already, but she talked about the double inhale. So you...
It's a long
inhale.
Long inhale. And then a short inhale. Should we practice it?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you're going to inhale through your nose, slow, sharp inhale, exhale through the mouth.
So I've taught. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So I do that. I taught I taught it to Levi and I've taught it to my kids too when they start to get worked up. So I'm hoping that us practicing it now, that when the busy season rolls around, we'll be ready to use it when we really need it.
I use it often, especially with my kids. And I think that's when Ashley taught me how to use it, because I'm like, I keep blowing up at them. And it's just like, I need to not be doing that, because I am mirroring to them how they should react when they're stressed. And this is not okay. And I just have been doing it a lot this week for some reason, but I've been editing old footage. I've kind of been sharing on YouTube again a little bit just to see is there any potential there? I don't know. But I caught myself in one of my old videos doing the breathing exercise during harvest. And I'm like, it worked. It works.
Yeah, absolutely.
So practice that. If you get into a moment where you're just like, I feel like I'm going to explode, try the breathing exercise. Yes. And do it like 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm. There's the square breathing too, where you breathe, inhale for 4, hold mm-hmm. for 4, exhale for 4, hold for 4. That's also a great one. Yeah. I feel like that takes more focus and slow down for me when I'm in the heat of the moment. Yes. The double inhale works way better.
Me too. I found that
it's literally scientifically proven to reduce anxiety by, I think, over 60%. Don't quote me on that statistic, but it's astronomical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, when it comes to stocking up on stuff, you actually kind of turned me into a Thrive Market girly, and I really look forward to getting like snacks and stuff off of there. So.
Yay.
And drinks. I found a couple drinks that I really like. So honestly, the chai tea, which
what brand?
I need to figure out. I don't, it's in my fridge right now. I'll send you a picture.
Is it in a square box?
And it's like red.
Yes.
Yes.
I just got it. Ashley told me to try it. So I added to cart. I got it. I was going to text her and say, okay, what do I do with this? So you'll have to tell me how you use it.
I just do 50-50 chai tea and milk.
And you heat it up?
No, I use it iced because that's how I like it. But some people like it warm. I just don't.
Speaking of iced drinks, I made coffee cubes for iced
coffee. Ooh, fancy.
Yeah. Because then if you have an iced drink, as it starts to melt, it doesn't get all sketchy and watery. It gets more coffee.
Next level coffee girl.
Yeah.
I love it. And if you don't know, Jenna has this amazing espresso espresso machine that, I don't know, maybe Josh won't listen, but my birthday's coming up, so.
It's 20% off. I just thought it's 20% off on Amazon, which saves you $200.
Okay. Wow. Whoa. We should link it.
Yeah, I'll link it in the show notes. I highly endorse the Breville Touch. I know it's an investment, but I live in BFE and I can have fun, fancy coffee every day. And I literally don't even go to like Starbucks or Scooters or anything anymore, because honestly, their coffee tastes bitter compared to my homemade coffee. So,
and you use a special kind of coffee too, right?
Yes, Purity Coffee, which I can also link. It's mold-free. It's tested. It's really good for your gut. It's great.
Okay.
I have a discount code too. We'll put all that in the show notes.
Yeah. So the other drink that I like to have nice drinks to look forward to. It's like, okay, MP, get through this and then treat yourself.
I'm the same way.
So that's amazing. I can't believe we've never talked about this
before. I know. Like, I'm addicted to my pre-workout. It's so delicious. And so in the morning before I work out, I'm like, okay, just get through your cold plunge, Jenna, and then you can have your pre-workout.
Ooh, it's like a treat. You have to treat yourself. Sometimes we have to treat our inner child. And that in turn for me, it looks like actual treats. So, Yes. So I've been trying to drink less sugar though with my treats, which the chai tea has sugar in it, whatever. I'm not like completely against having sugar in your diet, but I've also been really loving poppy. And I get that from Thrive Market because that's the cheapest way to get it. It's expensive otherwise.
I don't love poppy.
Really?
A couple of them exploded in my basement fridge. So
I really love it because it's like way better for you than a can of pop. And I like the flavors. The only flavor I haven't liked are the ones where they actually try to emulate an actual different kind of pop. Like the root beer wasn't that good. And I haven't tried the Dr. Pepper or the cola, but I like the there's like a raspberry rosé, a strawberry something, and a watermelon one that I really like.
My kids like them, and they call them pops. They call LaCroix pops. My kids don't know what real pop is, but they think it's awesome that they get pop, and it's actually like a poppy or an Olipop or something like that.
Yeah, I've been trying to switch to that to give them something that I don't feel like as guilty about.
It's poison, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's all in moderation. I don't feel like they can't have that kind of stuff, and we still give them like fountain pop when we go places once in a while, but not
my kids get Sprite and stuff.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I guess, okay, so I did put this question box on Instagram to ask people what they're doing. to prep for planting, and a lot of it was the same, like making double freezer meals, which we've talked about here. So like if you're making a meal for your family, just double it and then freeze half of it for a future meal. That's honestly a game changer when it comes to getting ready for the busy season. And also, Josh uses this heated lunchbox now since we just got it for his birthday last fall. So freezing single serve things for that has been something that I'm focusing on doing for him. So
I think I'm going to buy one of those for Levi this year.
It's super nice. I'm
driving to the field twice a day during planting.
You should only be driving to the field at maximum once a day to deliver that man food, in my opinion. I mean, he's going to listen to this and he's probably going to text me some swears, but just kidding. No swears. Oh, man. But Josh really loves it. So, and it's super handy. So I'm excited that it honestly takes off some of me in the mornings too. Like we can get ready together and I'm not slapping together all of his food. It's just like helping him. And
so do you only put frozen food in that, or can you put just leftovers in it too?
You can put leftovers in it too. It just, you would have to adjust how long you're going to heat it for.
Sure.
It comes out piping hot, like burn your mouth hot. Wow. So yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I can link the lunchies for you guys too. I did ask them for a discount code, but I need to, maybe by the time this episode airs, we'll have that. So I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And then the other things, I guess, like I'll just read kind of rapid fire some of the things that people said on Instagram that I thought were really good. Couples getaway, which I kind of feel like we did that through Commodity, but if you have a chance to get just a couple days away with your spouse before you really get busy, huge bonus. Switching clothes for the new season. So like washing the heavy, bulky winter things and just putting them away, maybe leave out like a couple things that you think you're going to use. But if you feel like snow pants season is over, wash them, put them in a bin, put them
Nebraskans
away.
Don't listen to her. It's too soon.
If you put it away, it'll, what is it? Like it'll jinx it'll all of us.
The next day.
And then, I don't have her last name, but someone like this was so impactful for me. And I think it was great. Amy said she's going to ask her husband, "What can I do this planting season to make you feel loved?"
Oh,
I just loved that so much. We should all be like Amy and be asking our husbands.
Yes.
That.
Be like Amy.
Yeah. There was lots of letting go of extra commitments and putting together like kits for your car just to make things easier as you're buzzing around like crazy, you know, have snacks and extra diapers and wipes and first aid kit, those kind of things that you feel like you might need when you're out and about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And there was also, I felt bad because there was a lot of people in that question box that just seemed very overwhelmed for this coming season. Like mm-hmm. it's something that they almost get like anxiety over, and you know, there's like some people are trying to be funny, like they're stocking up on alcohol and stuff like that. And I just feel like I get it. This is a hard season. It is a go time for all of us. We have to focus on taking it one day at a time.
We do. I totally get those feelings. I feel like I've grown a lot, but those exact feelings 2 or 3 years ago are 100% during planting was the straw that broke the camel's back for me to step away from my off the farm job.
Mm-hmm.
It was just simply too much. So I totally understand those feelings, but I do feel like we need to just be more mature and mentally prepare, physically prepare, emotionally prepare, all of the things that Mary Pat and I have covered in this podcast today to just thrive through the season a little bit more successfully.
Yes. And I will totally encourage you to like get into some kind of devotion and put your trust in God through this season. And I feel like that gives us a whole different outlook and a whole different set of tools to get through it when we aren't focusing on ourselves and instead focusing on what's greater. And that's like serving God, like really connecting to him and having that personal relationship to refocus where you're at right now.
I agree 100% with that, MP. My grandma, my 96-year-old grandma, farm daughter, farm wife extraordinaire, who moved off the farm a couple years ago. Y'all have heard her on the podcast. She has this needlepoint framed picture thing in her apartment that says, "Who plants a seed beneath the sod and waits to see believes in God."
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't listened to that episode, go to episode 15. It's Treva's episode where we interviewed her, and it's one of our most listened to episodes mm-hmm. and one that I absolutely love. So definitely go listen to that.
Yes.
And I will say, like, that is a huge piece of this puzzle is your relationship with God. And if you can really lean into that, and that's what has helped me, I guess, grow and mature over the years. Mm-hmm. And if I'm really feeling in a funk though, and I just can't get out of it, and it's like, dang, obviously trying to fit in that daily devotion, but then I will also look up podcasts specific to what I need. Like, I need motivation for this.
Yeah.
I need motivation for that. And it does help to just, like, instead of sitting in your funk or sitting scrolling through whatever social media platform you're on, disconnect and figure out a way to refocus and change your current mindset.
I couldn't agree more.
All right. Well, is there any other wise words of wisdom we want to leave our listeners with before
we... I don't think so. I think you really did a mic drop there at the end. So I'll just let it end with that.
Well, we so appreciate every single one of you who listens in every week with us. We truly enjoy creating these podcasts for you, and we hope that we're bringing you value. And if there's anything that you want to hear us talk more about, please make sure to interact with us on our social channels or on the Beyond the Crops Instagram page. We would love to hear from you. And we do read every single review that you guys share with us. So we really appreciate that feedback and the support in that way.
We drop new episodes every Tuesday, so be sure to stay tuned with us as our seasons continue to change.
See you next time.